appreciate that, and that's a wonderful question, isn't it? Yeah. How long has it been? I hope that you can say in your life it's been about 3 minutes, or 30 seconds, or 15 seconds. How long? But if you have to go beyond, you know, a day, that's a good sign that you're not in a good place. Amen? I mean, let's just face it. We're not in a good place if we go a long time without realizing all of those things and how good God is to us. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and look with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, of course, this is Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. The first letter that he wrote was one that was very pointed. It was one that he had to deal with several issues within this particular church. And as he writes this second letter to this church, Paul's tone is somewhat changed. Now, you'll notice that throughout Paul's letters and all of his epistles that he wrote, Paul is always very pointed. But he's always pointed in love. Amen? And so he's the one that God chose to inspire him to pen the words, speaking the truth in love. And we know that God's word is true, and we know that what Paul is writing here is true. And then I hope this morning that this would be very thought-provoking to you and to myself as we consider this topic that we're faced with this morning. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I know as Paul is writing this to this church, I want you to understand that God has preserved this for us today. And I know this is not directly written to us, it's directly written to this church at Corinth, but it is so very fitting for us today that we can apply it to our lives. So I want you to look at verse number 1 as we begin reading, as the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This morning I want you to take note in verse number 3, as the scripture says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And this morning I want to emphasize this particular verse here, as the Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid." And I want to ask this question to you, and I want you to make this personal as I have made it personal in my life. But the question is this, that you're going to have to answer by the end of the sermon. Each one of us will have to answer this question. Is our message of the gospel being hidden? Is our message of the gospel being hidden? Let's pray together and we'll jump right into this. Our Heavenly Father, as I come to you this morning, God, we come as a congregation of believers who desire to do your will and desire to have your will done in our lives. And Father, I pray this morning that without question, without hesitation, all of us should know that the gospel is the reason we are here today. I thank you for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, who made a change in me over 30 years ago. And God, you continue to make changes through the gospel in my life. But Father, I'm ashamed to pray that things you already know, knowing that the message of my gospel message, is oftentimes hidden to those that need it the most. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would help us to open up the windows of our soul, that the light that you have placed within us that shines through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, might shine throughout our lives, that lost men and blinded men might see. Help us in this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Is our message of the gospel being hidden? I want you to look again at this passage here, and we'll break this down just a little bit. And I want you to see that Paul is making this very, very personal. As he says in verse number 1, seeing we. And if you're in the habit of marking your Bibles, you might want to mark some of these pronouns here. As the Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending, here's another one, ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine up unto them. For we preach. That's we. For we preach, not ourselves. You see, it's not our message. It's not about us. But rather Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined, here it is again, in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, this is a very personal passage of Scripture that we can apply to our lives today. As we look at this introduction here, I want you to mark this down. The gospel message is personal. That's the introduction. Very simple, very straightforward. The gospel message is personal. It was personal to you when someone told you about the gospel, and now it is personal that God has given you a task to tell others. But we could ask the same question this morning that Brother Don sang about, and that's, how long has it been? How long has it been since you have made the gospel so personal that you have to tell someone? There's going to be a lot of questions here this morning, and I want to answer a few of them, but only you will be able to answer the question if your gospel message is being hidden. Now, the first thing that we must look at this morning is, what is our message of the gospel? What is it? What is this message that God has given to us to tell anyone? Now, if we truly believe that, as the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we believe that whosoever is whosoever, and whosoever is anyone and everyone, then why are we telling no one? what is the gospel message? What is it that we're supposed to be telling? Well, this I want you to notice, number one, is our message is the same as everyone else's message. So what is this gospel message that we speak of? Now we know when we look up the term gospel, we know that it simply means good news. But when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. And what is that good news of Jesus Christ? Well, it's very simple. It's the fact that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin. That's good news. He's the only one to do it. Good news. He came. He lived a sinless life. That's good news. And in that sinless life, He died on a cross of Calvary to pay your sins debt and my sins debt. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we have this idea that the gospel is the fact that Jesus came, and even though He was sinless, even though He was perfect, and even though He had never done anything wrong other than follow what, and not that this was wrong, the only thing He did was follow His Father's commandment. And He was killed for it. And shed His blood for it. Why? That He might rise again. You see, that was the purpose of Him dying, was that He might live again, and He certainly did. And see, the Bible tells us that He was seen above more than 500 people after His resurrection. I mean, there were witnesses to it. I mean, this isn't stuff that has been made up, and from those 500 people, we literally have millions and millions throughout ages and ages of people that have heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is this, He did it so that you and I might live again. That you and I might have everlasting life. That is the message in which we have. So our message is the same as everyone else's message concerning the gospel. But let me make this a little more personal. While none of us have a message that is exclusive to ourselves, all of us have our own story of how we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we have a message of the gospel. But the second message, and this is what makes it personal to you and personal to me, is that if you know Christ as your Savior, you have a story. And you have a story to tell. And I'm still amazed, and I always use this as an illustration in this, but if it's amazing to me that if I find something on sale, I'll share it with whoever wants to know. I'll share it with people that don't want to know. You know, standing in line at Walmart or wherever, and somebody's got some ribeye steaks, and I know they're on sale at Winn-Dixie, I may tell them, you know, hey, they're on sale at Winn-Dixie. I wouldn't buy those here. You're going to pay about $5, $10 more because they're on sale over there. Now, how many of you would want to know that? It's on sale. And so that's why we tell one another. And we tell, you know, we buy a new car, and man, we got a great deal. And we tell where we got it from, who the salesman was, and those types of things. Because we got a good deal. Oh, I can tell you where to find that. I'll tell you where you need to go for that. But why is it, when it comes down to the most important aspect of life, between somebody's eternity in hell or eternity in heaven, we're like, can't tell them that, it might upset them. It's either good news or it's not, folks. Right? It's either good news or it's not. And maybe it's the fact that we think that within that good news, there's bad news, and we really don't want to tell that part. I really don't know what it is. But I'm telling you, we all face it. Every one of us, myself included, we all face it. Again, we can tell about the little bitty news. But when it comes to the greatest news you've ever heard, and the greatest news that's ever affected your life and my life, we keep it hidden. We keep it hidden as if it's a secret. We keep it hidden as if it's exclusive to us. And again, the only thing exclusive to us is our story. Now, our story may be similar to someone else's story. But it's still my story, and it's still your story. Let me ask you this real quickly. How many of you were saved in a children's type service? Anyone? In a children's type service. Raise your hand nice and high. I want to see. All right, I got 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, very good. Your story is my story. We have the same story. But you know what's different in that story? There was a fellow in my junior church by the name of Mike Williams that led me to the Lord. Did Mike Williams lead you to the Lord, Elijah? You don't even know who Mike Williams is, do you? Terry Buckner, Mike Williams, he was there? No. Who was there for you? Barbara Workman? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Similar story, but different. How many were saved as an adult? Raise your hand. Oh, there are several of you. Very good. You know what? You have different stories. Oh, they're similar. And they're similar in the fact that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I'm telling you, you have a story to tell. And we ought to tell it. We ought to tell it more emphatically, more excitedly than we would about a good deal that we found across the state or wherever. We ought to tell what is our gospel message. Again, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and its power to save. And its power to change lives. So that answers that question very simple. What is our gospel message? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and its power to save. Now, number two, I want you to see this. How might our message of the gospel be hidden to them that are lost? How might our gospel message be hidden to them that are lost? Now, here's one of the interesting things that I see in this portion of Scripture here. Because a lot of times when we see the gospel mentioned in the New Testament, we see it as if it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see it that way. But for some reason, God allowed Paul to pin down and preserve for us this verse number 3, but if our gospel. This is not about the fact that that is our gospel, that we get to change the gospel. No, what it's saying is it's personal to us. It's our gospel message of Jesus Christ and what He's done in our lives. So if it is hidden, how might we hide it? Well, as he continues there, notice, I want you to see that he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is him hid to them that are lost. Now here's what I want you to think through with me, okay? If you're saved, you know the gospel. You responded to the gospel. You know the gospel and you know what it's done in your life. Because it's the gospel. You know about it. Guess what? It can't be hidden to you. You know where it's at. You know who it is. You know what it's all about. It can't be hidden to you. So who is it hidden to? Them that are lost. And so that's why Paul is saying, if the gospel be hid, if our gospel be hid, it's hidden to them that are lost because we know it. Oh, I know exactly where it's at. Now, how many of you would say, how many of you ever lost your keys or you couldn't remember where you put your keys? I do it all the time. That's why I have 4 or 5 sets. I'm serious. I'm like, oh, where's my keys? I can't find my keys. I'm still looking for one key that I have no idea where it's at, and surely it's going to come up. It's been a year since I've seen this key. I don't know. But you know what would be really, really cruel? Is if my lovely wife knew exactly where that key was and just didn't tell me. You don't know where it is, do you? Okay, good. Probably should have rehearsed this a little bit more. But who would agree? That's just cruel. Maybe not cruel, but maybe just a little mean. How can you say that's ridiculous? How many would say she doesn't even love you, man? I mean, come on. Key I've been looking for a year. Do you know where that key is? Okay, good. That would be just like, why would you do that? Oh, I've known where it's at for a year. It's been sitting right there. Been in that drawer for a year. You just never looked there. Why? Now, how many of you would say to someone who did that to you, why didn't you tell me? Would you say that? How many of you might get a little angry? Those of you that have anger issues. You know? Well, yeah. I'd be like, it's been here the whole stinking time, woman. And she hates to be called woman. And so, really, please don't. What if I said that? I'd be like, what in the world? I've been looking for this key for over a year. Now, you would think I would rejoice. I found the key. But she's known for a year. And she never told me. And I've asked, and I've said, man, I have no idea where this key is at. Now, that's why I have spare keys. Okay? But what if I lose the spare? Or if I lose the spare's spare? I really need one of those keys. And she's known for a year. Oh, here you go. It's probably in her purse. She doesn't have it. Okay, you sure? You don't know where it's at either. Okay, so it's hidden to both of us. Yeah. It's hidden. I have no idea where that's at. Why? Because it's hidden to those that are lost. Could you imagine? Just imagine that, well, you don't have to imagine this. You are saved. But here's what you would have to imagine. That your children aren't saved. Those of you that have children. Maybe they're not saved. Some of you may have children that aren't saved. But if they're not saved, it's hidden to them. Have you told them? You see, if the gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost, and should say our gospel. You see, how might it be hidden? Well, very plainly, it's hidden because we don't tell. It's hidden because we don't tell. Now again, we're talking about bigger than a key. We're talking about the key of eternal life. Bigger than a key to a house, or bigger than a key to an office door, bigger than a key to a car. It's the key to heaven. And you know what I have found in a lot of people's lives, as I will ask the question, a lot of times I'll say, do you know today if you died today that heaven would be your home? Do you know what the most given response is? I'll just tell you, it's not yes. It's I hope so. I think so. I don't know. I'd like to think. Some say, no, I have no idea. Some say emphatically, yes. But I will tell you, there are fewer yeses, a little more no's, but the majority of people just don't know. Or they think they are. And they need somebody to tell them. So if our gospel message be hid, how is it that we might be hiding it? You know, sometimes, as Christians, as believers, as people that have a gospel message, sometimes we hide it within these four walls right here. That's how we hide it. We say, well, if they would just come to church, they could find it. Look, I'm going to challenge you on this. I want you to read the entire New Testament. That's a good challenge, amen? But I want you to look for something throughout the New Testament. I want you to look in the New Testament where it says to find a lost person and take them to church so they can know who Christ is. No, it's not going to be there. It's not in there. That's not the plan. The plan is, the Bible said, go, tell, teach, baptize. It's what the Bible said, go. We have to go to bring them in. That we might build them up, to send them out, to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out. And the process goes over and over and over again. But if our gospel be hid, sometimes we hide it within the four walls of our church. Sometimes we hide it in our religious activities. Sometimes we get to the place and say, well, if you do this, 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 and this, and you just, you know, come to church, Listen, and then get involved. And sometimes it's in our religious activities that we hide the gospel in. But if the gospel be hid, it's hidden to them that are lost if our gospel be hid. You see, sometimes, again, we hide it in our refusal to be committed to the task given to us. How might we hide it? We hide it because it's not personal. It's not personal to us. Sometimes we think, well, that's the preacher's job. And every time I hear that, I say, amen. It is the preacher's job, just like it's your job. I'm not excluded from this. Oh, well, I'm too busy to tell others because I got to prepare this and do that. And I'm doing my job here on Sunday morning. No. If our gospel be hid, it's hidden to them that are lost because sometimes we're the ones hiding it. So how might the message of our gospel be hidden? Sometimes we just hide it. Now, if you look in verse number 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, in verse 3, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Hey, you know, there are people that have heard the gospel that didn't believe. There are those that don't even know the gospel exists, and therefore they don't believe. And so the third question this morning is, who is it that has blinded those to whom it is hidden? Well, obvious, it says right here in verse number 4, in whom the God of this world, the devil, he's hiding it. He doesn't want folks to know the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so he blinds them by putting them in a dark place. Now in this, I want you to understand in this, this blinding is not obviously a physical blindness. It's also not a blindness that can't be changed. Because the Bible very clearly explains how it can be changed. But the fact of the matter is this, the God of this world has spent a lot of time and a lot of years blinding and turning the lights off of the gospel in people's lives. You see, sometimes in the blinding of this, we spend way too much time being concerned about our image than we are the image of God. And the fact of the matter is this, I ought to be more concerned about God's image than I am mine. Plain and simple. It's God's image. You know, there are things that all of us could do, and there's things that I could do as a pastor that would bring shame and dishonor to Crossroads Baptist Church. A multitude of things that I could do personally that folks would stop and they would say, oh my goodness, he pastors that church? How could you go there? You know what he's done and those types of things and bring that in? But the fact of the matter is this, and while we ought to be concerned about our church's reputation and what folks think within the community about our church, and we represent our church, but more so, we represent a God in heaven, that we ought to be concerned about what people think of Him way before what they think of us. And if our gospel be hid, it's hidden by the devil. And again, if we aren't careful, we will just play a role as Christians and pretend not to be concerned, or pretend to even be concerned, when the fact of the matter is, we really just don't care. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. But look at this, what changes it? What will make those blind eyes see? Again, it's very clear who's blinding, it's very clear who's hiding. it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. What will make those blind eyes see? The glorious gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's our message that we're to tell. It's our gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ that we are to tell. And as that light gets turned on, oh my, lives get changed. When you continue in verse number 6, it says, for God who commanded, look at this, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Oh, you know what this is saying? At one time in life, before you knew Christ, guess what? You were blind. The lights were off. Couldn't see a thing. But the moment the lights came on, wow, everything changed. And He shined that light in our hearts, which makes it personal. So what is it that's going to make the difference? What is it that's going to make those blind eyes see? Well, the same thing that made your blind eyes see. Out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, we must be telling and teaching of Christ and His love that He showed on the cross and through the resurrection that God has tasked us with. This is what's going to make a difference. God placed a light in our heart. I want you to picture it like this. God placed a light in our heart that we might open up the windows of our heart and tell someone what God did. How'd that light get in there? God did it. And when someone sees that light shining and we're telling them, well, where do you get that light? From God. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we began to go into our story. You see, God has placed it there, and we must realize that this is in God's power and not our own. While we have a message, while this message is personal because God did something in our lives, it's still His message. And we don't get to change it, and we don't get to finagle with it, and we don't get to add to it or take away from it. As a matter of fact, God's really concerned about that. And He takes it very personally when we do that. So we got to tell it like He tells it. As we tell our story of what He did in our lives. Look, until we make this personal, we won't ever do anything with it. We might do it as a religious activity. And I will tell you, it's very easy to get caught up in that. And we could schedule a time and go knock on doors and tell folks about Christ and pass out tracts and invite people to church and all of that. And we can do all of that as just a religious activity. Or we could make it personal and understand that those around us need the light. And that if they had the light, they might see. Now, there are those that are willfully blinded. They want to be blinded and they don't want to see. There's nothing we can do about it except give the light. And sometimes when you've been in darkness for so long and the lights turn on, it can hurt a little bit, doesn't it? It hurts. I mean, you turn them on, you're like, oh, the light. That's just the way sometimes when we're faced with the fact that we're sinners, and that without Christ as our Savior, we'll die and go to a place called hell because of our sin. That can hurt a little bit. But that once we warm up to the light and realize that it's the light that's going to give us this eternal life, and that light will never fade away, it ought to be personal. Is it personal to you? But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Are you hiding it? Whether within the four walls of this church or within the four walls of your house or within the four doors or two doors of your car or truck, are you leaving it there and hiding it there and putting it away so no one knows that you have light? Is it personal? I hope this helps you to make it personal, because it is. And so the question is, our gospel message being hidden? To make it a little more personal, we must ask the question, is my gospel message being hidden? You must answer. I cannot. I can answer for myself. And I confess before God and you that sometimes my gospel message gets hidden. It does. You say, why? Well, you know, most of the time it's, for me, it's just sin in my life. You say, you're the pastor, you're not supposed to have sin in your life. I know, neither are you. But there are times when I hide it. And we have to realize that if people aren't being saved, it's only because we are not telling. Will you tell? Will you go? Every head bowed, every eye closed. This message is not about building a church congregation. It's not about how do we get more folks through the doors of Crossroads Baptist Church. It's not about so we can count numbers and come in next week and say, oh, I led five people to the Lord. No, it's about our message. It's about realizing and knowing that without our message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people will die and go to hell. And here's the thing, to make it a little more personal, there is probably someone in your life, right now in your life, that you may be the only person that can reach them with your story. Your story can change their life. And here's what's really hard to think about, is if there may be people in our past that we were the only ones that could reach and we never told. I don't even want to think about it. May God help us. If our gospel message be hidden, it's not hidden to us, it's hidden to them that are lost. Father in heaven, God, may this be real. I want it to be real in my life. I want it to be real in the lives of those within the sounds of my voice. God, you've never told us to do it in any other way other than to tell. To go and tell. And Father, while we know it worked for the disciples, God, we also know that it's worked throughout the ages. May we not be ignorant to this. So Father, I pray that you would fill us with a Holy Spirit power and a vigor and a desire to go and tell, that we might shine the light that you shined in our hearts, that others might see, that they might know the glorious salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, that's available to them. Help us to make it personal. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.